Into hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So good to be with you. Great to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. NCAA tournament tipping off. We just had UCF big man, Taco Fall. What an amazing story he is. So hope you enjoyed that one. We're going back to back. Coming up later on this hour, the manager of the San Diego Padres, Andy Green. But as promised, we are joined right now by an all-star, a second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. One of only three players with at least 50 home runs and 189 RBI in his first two seasons with the Reds. First player in franchise history to reach those numbers in his first two seasons while also hitting at least 300. Only player in Major League history to produce five hits, four home runs, and 10 RBI in the same game. Joins Lou Gehrig as the only players in Major League history with four grand slams and a four-homer game in the same season. And the Reds open up their year against Pittsburgh on March 28th. Schooner Jeanette is my guest. Scooter, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good. What an introduction that is, Jim. Dude, thank you.
Dude, your resume is unbelievable, I got to say. So, Scooter, we're about 10 days out from the season opener. How has camp gone for you so far? Are you ready to start playing meaningful games right now, or maybe is there still a little work to be done?
I'm ready. I think the more, just every spring training, I get ready faster. I think this year, after about my 15th at-bat, 20th at-bat, I was ready to go. Just can't wait to get the season started.
I see you working. Now, the team itself has made a lot of moves in the offseason, including the arrival of a new manager in David Bell. You've also got Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, Alex Woods, Sonny Gray. The list goes on. How would you describe the vibe and the mood in camp this year?
It's great. I think the biggest thing is that the front office, they expect us to win, which we as players, we always expect to win. We think we can win on any given day with whatever team we have. But now that the front office is expecting us to win, it just seems more real. To where both sides are, have the same thought. So, with that's different from the past couple years, which is good. But all the new players, the new coaches, everybody's energy's good. The vibe's good. I think that we're gonna really surprise some people, and with our lineup and with Sonny Gray and Rourke and Wood, being pretty much our top three guys. If they do what they're supposed to, man, I mean, we're gonna be scary. I don't think people are gonna want to see us come into the town.
Red second baseman Scooter Jeanette joining us. And then you've got Yasiel Puig, Scooter, who we had here in Los Angeles for a number of years. He really is a fascinating guy. What's it been like having him around? What's he bring to your clubhouse?
Oh, man. We could talk all day about that.
I got lots of time.
I would say he's a lot of fun. He enjoys himself out in the field, which that's how he he's got to enjoy himself to be at the top of his game. So, he'll do some stuff out there that you've never seen before on the field. And it kind of like, wow, like what just happened right there. But then, he'll pick up the ball and throw a guy out, 300 feet away, or he'll come up and hit a grand slam. And it's just like, well, it is, that's him. It's kind of like the, Manny being Manny, in that time. It's very similar, but he's a good guy. He's smart. Just getting to know him. He cares about the team. He cares about his preparation. So, all in all, he's been great. But we got to see, when we go through some ups and downs as a team, how guys respond. And, that's when you really can tell, how people are.
I think that's right. I think that's fair. Scooter Jeanette joining us. So now you rolled to camp last year in an RV. Take me back. How was that trip? And then how did you make the journey this year?
Oh, it was last year we were in a Cruise America RV, which they were so nice to let us loan one for the trip over. Unfortunately, I did all the driving on my own. My wife and our dog, Leo, were relaxing pretty much for the whole trip. while I drove, but, you know, that's kind of my duty as the husband. You know, just another thing that, you know, we're expected to do. But this year, we met a bus driver at the Homestead race, the NASCAR race in Homestead this year, and it was Elliot Sadler's bus driver for a long time, and Elliot Sadler retired this past year, so the bus and the bus driver weren't doing much, so I told him, you know, maybe in February I'll hit you up and see what your plans are, and sure enough, he was ready to go, and his name was Will. He's a good old country dude, a lot of one-liners, just a great guy. It was a lot of fun. I didn't have to drive at all, and we had satellite TV and internet, so I mean, it was a lot better than doing all the driving on my own, that's for sure.
Better. It sounds like the best roadie ever. That sounds like a blast. Hey, listen, I'm glad you mentioned I'm glad you mentioned NASCAR, Scooter, because as long as we're talking about NASCAR and wheels, you're a huge Dale Earnhardt guy. What was it about the Intimidator that you liked so much, respected so much?
Oh, man. You know, I saw a lot, even as a young, I want to say 12 when he passed, something like that. But I started following him probably when I was about 8, I would say. I started getting old enough to see some similarities, actually, between him and myself in a sense of how he raced and how I played the game and kind of how my dad groomed me to play the game, which is hard. And, you know, when that ball's hit, my only thought's to catch it, make the play. It's not, okay, where's the wall, or okay, where, you know, it's make the play. And I think that's how he raced. He raced to win every time. And another thing, too, that really kind of, you know, got me on the whole Dale bandwagon there is how intimidating. Everyone was scared of him, you know, at the track. But as soon as the race was over, you could just tell it was like, this is the real, you know, the real Dale, the Dale that's going back home. Everyone that I've spoken to now, I mean, kind of confirmed that he was just such a great guy off the track. But once those shades came on and he put those Nikes on, it was the Intimidator. And I always liked that. I thought that was really interesting and cool. You know, that he kind of had two different personas. And like myself, I had Scooter and Ryan. So there was another similarity there too, but yeah, man, Dale's the best.
Scooter Jeanette joining us, and Junior's just like that as well. Junior's an unbelievable guy off the track. Good guy on the track, of course, but really unbelievable guy off the track. You know, it's this point that you're making right now, Scooter. For instance, back in February, you were at a middle school in Sarasota, Florida, and you were talking to students there about emotions and times where maybe you felt alone or down. It's part of a larger project that you're involved with, but if we start with that middle school conversation, there were a lot of things that you might be doing in your free time. Why was that something that you wanted to do?
Well, I think, you know, really, I like to call it, you know, mental health. You know, the mental health thing, people are kind of like, whoa, you know. I think it's more, it's mental health. It's how do we help each other? And I think the biggest thing is just sharing, you know, connecting with somebody and just communicating with them, like, really what's going on, whether it's something good or something not so good. I just think nowadays with all the social media and all the other stuff, it's like people put this mask on that, oh, everything's fine. You know, it's not cool to talk about certain things like religion and politics and, you know, money. And, you know, these are things that we're kind of in our culture and our society wired not to talk about. And I don't understand why, because how are we supposed to learn from each other if we're not talking about those things that are pretty important stuff? You know, we talk about sports, we wear our favorite team's hats, and, you know, people are like, oh, they suck. And you're like, no, your team sucks. And like, but that's, you know, that's fine. And it's like, why can't we talk about, you know, all the other stuff like that? And I think it really hits every area, you know, emotions, maybe what the home life's like. And I just encourage the kids to, you know, if they feel like they can't talk to anybody, like, that's, that's one of the most important times probably to find somebody to talk to and use their resources, their guidance counselor, their teacher. When it comes to the bullying stuff, I tell them, you know, if you see some bullying going on and you don't do anything about it, you know, really, ultimately, there's no difference between you and the bully other than you're not maybe throwing a punch or tweeting something. And also on the flip side of that, to feel bad for that bully, try to help that bully, you know, because obviously if they're bullying people, then they're probably going home to a rough situation. So I kind of just try to teach them those kind of things. And really the biggest thing, Jim, is letting them know that everyone's dealing with something. You know, even me as a professional athlete, I have issues that I have to deal with on, off the field. And I think everyone does. And it's weird because, like, everyone, when I have those conversations, the teachers are like, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, and like, we understood exactly what you were saying. And it's like, well, why aren't we saying it? Why aren't we talking about it more as a society? And really, I mean, it's, if I can help a couple kids, you know, it's worth it for me. But ultimately, all I'm trying to do now is just talk to the people that I can, you know, communicate with, and that's my teammates, my family, my friends, and just encourage them, you know, even as my buddy makes t-shirts, and even, you know, for him, he can impact a lot of people in all different ways. So just really encouraging people to step out of the normal and do something to help somebody.
Red second baseman Scooter Jeanette joining us. I mean, that's an amazing thing to say right there. In terms of the t-shirts, it's part of a larger project, actually. And there's a shirt that will be sold that simply reads, "Say hello." Now, I know you've kind of touched on this, but what's the thinking behind that? And what is the message you want to put out there with that shirt?
Yeah, like you said, it says, "Say hello." It's going to be in red colors to start out. They're going to try to hit the Red Nation with it. Really, the idea is it could be something as simple as just saying hello to somebody and, you know, asking them how their day is, and, you know, if they want to talk about something. But, you know, that's kind of what I do on a daily basis, whether it's at the grocery store or wherever I might be. If I notice somebody, whether it's – I like to – there's older ladies, a lot of older ladies in Sarasota where I'm from in the off season, and older men as well, but it seems like at the mall and stuff, there's a lot of older women, and I just love saying stuff like, oh, you look great today, and it's like, at first, they're kind of caught off guard, like, that's not normal to say, but then they smile and say thank you, and they walk away, and it just makes me feel like, it makes me feel good that I might have just brought a smile to some lady's day, and who knows, maybe no one's talking to her for a while, or whatever the case may be. It could be something so simple as just saying hi to somebody and encouraging people to do that, not only as athletes, but, you know, as any citizen.
Scooter, if somebody wants to buy that shirt, how would they go about getting it?
Athletes Brand is the you can find them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm pretty sure all of it, but they're the ones that are going to be making the shirts and distributing them, selling them. I think the main goal is to, I don't have like a foundation or anything yet. I think that we're still trying to find one that fits the best with what we're trying to do. And, you know, hopefully create some type of movement or campaign to where, and there's some foundations that are doing that. The Goldie Hawn Foundation, she does a really good job at creating programs in schools that gets the kids to learn about, you know, certain emotions and how to deal with them. But really, my end goal is putting enough pressure or create enough awareness on the school systems to implement a class that you could just call life. And that's where basically the kids' attendance is their grade, and they can participate in certain conversations, but yet they're sitting in, and that's when you have your guest speakers come in and you show your movies like The Green Mile and, you know, that kind of stuff to really kind of get these kids, like, you know, ready for, you know, life and what's in store for them after school. And I think that's something that I missed out on and something that I wish I had learned you know, before I got drafted or whatever, and you know, really just learn more about yourself, learn more about other people, and that's the end goal. So they're like, I don't want any money. I mean, the athlete's brand, they need to sell the shirts, and they can make more shirts, and ultimately there's going to be money going to some foundation, but it might cost some money to create some type of movement like that. So, you know, who knows?
Spreading the message. He is a second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. He is an all-star, and the Reds have a very different look this year. And as he says, they're going to be scary to deal with. Scooter, it's great talking baseball with you. It's great talking life with you. It's always good to have you on this show, and I hope we can do it again soon. That was really good stuff.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks for having me on, man.
I appreciate you, Scooter. Nice to have you back. Scooter Jeanette. I've already got the bobble. Now I need that shirt. I like that. Say hello. All right, telephone number is toll-free. Hope you got something out of that. That was a really good conversation. 1-800-636. I did, personally. I got a lot out of that. 1-800-636-8686. Open segment next. I might use that to talk about the wedding season. And then after that, another baseball conversation. Andy Green, Padres manager, to wrap the show. Episode 74 of the Jim Rohn Podcast with Mark Schlereth. After the program, that will drop later on today. Make sure you look for that, and we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
Got Andy Green, Padres manager, coming up next segment. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Scooter Jeanette is a cool, cool dude. That's a really different guy. And by different, I mean an awesome guy. Great player, better guy. Ask at PHX underscore Nola Girl. She tweets, dude, I think I just fell in love with Scooter Jeanette. If this dude with all of his hype and status can recognize the importance of kind words to strangers, anyone can. Hashtag say hello. +1-800-636-8686. Toll free. Why don't you pick up a couple of telephone calls there, Adam? See what we got. In the meantime, let me go to Valencia. I've got Andy Green coming up next segment. I want to make sure I have enough time to talk about wedding season. If I can't do that today, that will hold till tomorrow. Let's go to Valencia, Quinn. Good to have you, Quinn. What's up?
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, this guy's interview is so good. Kind of like a pay it forward kind of guy. It's simple to just say hello. But I've been thinking about, you know, what he was saying. So I got an idea. I will put you in $100 today to your $200 of Hawk pulls out of that marathon. I don't want to see him, you know, have a bad day.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. All right, Quinn, thank you very much. So what he's saying is I heard what Scooter Jeanette said. And Scooter Jeanette's whole point, if we're being very serious, and I don't think you are, but if we're being serious, Scooter's saying, you know, why can't you take one moment? It's part of a much bigger conversation about having conversations about difficult topics. And he said, why can't we talk about certain things that we need to talk about, whether it's mental health, whether it's politics, whether it's how you're feeling emotionally. Why can't we talk about these things? And to jumpstart those conversations, he's going to wear a shirt and sell a shirt that says, say hello. It's a good starting point. Say hello. And by saying hello to somebody, it's going to start a conversation or maybe just make somebody's day better.
Hello.
Avi. So what Quinn and Valencia just said, I don't want Hawk to have a bad day. So I'm going to kick in 100 to your 200 to get him not to run that marathon because he'll have a bad day. One problem, my 200 is off the table. So now that's 100. So there it is, Hawk. The pot has started again. 100 bucks to get you not to run. Because Hawk, when I asked him, why are you doing this? Just quit. When the going gets tough, the tough quit. When life gives you lemons, quit. It's not how many times you get knocked off that horse. It's how many times you quit. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you quit. Winners never quit. Quitters quit. When the going gets tough, the tough quit. Hawk, I'm telling you, just quit. Just don't do it. And his response to me was, I paid $190. I said, fine, here's $200, man. Just walk away. Not only am I going to give you your money back, you're going to make $10. Walk away. Quit. Winners never quit. Quitters quit. He said, $500. I said, all right, now you have nothing. Now you have no offer. And that guy said, I'll give you $100. So now you're back up to $100. Sounds like he's going to go through with it. Let's go to Matt in L.A. He's back. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Romy, please give it up to Vince. Hey, I just got back from Red Lobster. Since the days dude was welcoming Isaiah Thompson on behalf of President McGee, since Brian Giles was describing the acquisition of a past his prime Ramon Martinez by deadpanning to you, that his brother's Pedro, your boy Matt in L.A.'s had your back, pimp. And I'm going to have your back on this NC2A tournament. I mean, it's about time to give Kurzewski his due. He's going on 3 decades of excellence. I mean, let's think about this, Romy. His first conquest was over the legend, Tark the Shark, the Chow Chomper, and our dudes, Greg Anthony, Stacey Ogman, and Grandmama. So I'm calling my shot. I got due going all the way, Romy. That's all I got. Wore Matt pastry dish using that pencil behind his ear to write down his 3 daily lunch orders, and wore James Kelly's Ethiopian arms upside down toilet bowl forehead. Outro.
Matt in LA, thanks for having my back, bro. All right. James Kelly will be in on Friday. It's his time of year. The flight deck loves this time of year. NCAA tournament. He'll be all about it. He's got his brackets. You know he'll get down. All right, so we'll take a short time out. I got a sports update coming up first, and then I've got Andy Green, the manager of the San Diego Padres. That is next. I've got a San Diego appearance on Friday night, actually. Come to think of it, that I'll tell you about. But first up, a sports update. Here is the latest. We'll be joined by San Diego Padres manager Andy Green in a few moments. This email says, Rome, that detective was right about arm and pecs guy at the bar. But remember, you must wear a tight golf shirt while at the bar while talking to chicks. Only do bicep curls and tries. Never work out legs. Girls love disproportionate freaks. War detectives who conclude that since someone's shoes were stolen 9 months ago, that somebody can no longer train for a marathon. Damasio in Albuquerque. That was Detective Dan earlier.
We both know the real reason why Hawk isn't running this marathon. He got his sneaker stolen, right? How can you train if you got your sneaker stolen?
Man, they can't teach that at detective school. That's why that guy's a detective. Dude, Sherlock Holmes couldn't hold your jock. Dick Tracy doesn't want any of that. Rockford couldn't hang with you. So that spawned a poll. I hate cheesy, corny social media polls. But Hasty Burford came with one, and he tweeted at Jim Rome, worst DD caller, Detective Dan, Dr. Dave, or Dan in Denver? Looking at the latest votes, Dr. Dave is running away with it. 59% of the vote. I voted for him. 23 hours left in that poll. You want to jump on that? Dan in Denver is second with 29% of the vote. Detective Dan, the aforementioned, is in third. He has 12% of the vote right now. The Jim Rome podcast, episode number 74, drops after the program. And Mark Schlereth is going to be my guest. Tremendous conversationalist. So we're going to run him down afterwards, but we're not done yet here. We are joined by the manager of the San Diego Padres. He is now entering his fourth season as Padres manager. San Diego, 14-8 in spring training, and they open up their season against San Francisco on March 28th. Andy Green is my guest. Andy, it's good to have you back. Thanks for making time. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, Jim. How you doing today?
Super. Great. Andy, great to visit with you. I mentioned you're 14-8 in spring training. I know you're not going to read too much into wins and losses during camp, but how does the team feel to you right now?
That's great. I couldn't even have told you we were 14-8. I think that's how much managers are paying attention to spring training records right now. But the vibe in the clubhouse is good. And a lot of that changed when we added Manny to the clubhouse. I think he raised our collective expectation level. It was huge of ownership to step up like that. You don't see that very often in a small market club, but our owners are they're committed to winning here in San Diego. And you're starting to see a lot of it start to come together. And within the clubhouse now, you know, there's a belief that we're past this development phase and you know, we're ready to go out and compete and do some special things this season.
I love that. I love you jumping right into it. And so, of course, that's the big story of the offseason, the signing of Manny Machado. What was your personal reaction when you heard the news that it was official?
I was thrilled. I mean, I got it right after I spoke to the team. So my opening message to the team, obviously he wasn't signed right when spring started. I gave my opening message to the team, and about 10 minutes after that, I got the news. So I'm not sure if, like, I inspired ownership to pony up a little bit more money or not with that opening message to the club. But one way or another, we ended up with Manny, and thrilled about it. And it's been great throughout spring training and looking forward to go through the seasons with him.
Padres manager Andy Green joining us. So obviously you and the organization did a lot of homework and due diligence on that before you made that move. What did you see in Manny Machado that made you feel like he'd be a good fit, not only for the roster, but for your clubhouse?
Yeah, first, just like the way he fits on the club, our most obvious hole was third base. When you take your weakness and turn it into your greatest strength, that's one of the biggest needle movers you're ever going to have in a clubhouse. So we had a place that we didn't really have anybody lined up to play. We had some young guys we were excited about. But to add a gold glove all-star presence in Manny, who's been in the postseason, won games in meaningful situations, to put him in the middle of the order, that changes the lineup construct. And then just looking at a guy that's, fits our window from an age perspective with where our young talent is, somebody that you expect to be anchoring your lineup for years and years to come, and it all just made a ton of sense to us.
We're talking to Andy Green. You mentioned the commitment from ownership and the kind of message that sends everybody in the clubhouse. What about you as the manager? You're always going to have high expectations no matter what, but does the arrival of Machado change those expectations for you? Does it shift into even more of a win-now mode for you?
Yeah, we want to win. We want to win every baseball game we play. I know there's 29 other managers going to tell you the exact same thing. Knowing where we've come from, there were years where doing that was very difficult. And now you look out across the field and your lineup stacks up well against the opposition. You might not be the best club on the field every single night from a talent perspective, but you're plenty good enough to go out there and beat people and win games on a consistent basis. And I think the way we look at ourselves now is every single year there's a team or two that shocks people. It ends up in the playoffs, and we think we're every bit in that category to be in that consideration, and we're the type of club that's going to go out and not look long-term, but just focus on every single day that we have in front of us. And, our first one that's going to count is going to be against Madison Bumgarner here in a little over a week. And our guys are excited about that one and looking forward to it.
San Diego Padres manager Andy Green, my guest. So one more thought about Machado. You've had some time around him. So what kind of an impact do you expect him to have on young guys like maybe Fernando Tatis Jr.?
A really solid one. He's been an unbelievable teammate from the second he walked in this clubhouse. When you dig deep on him and you start talking to people in clubhouses that have known him and been around him, they talk about his character. They talk about what kind of guy he is and that he cares about people and wants to win. He's motivated and driven. It's not the narrative that gets spun publicly sometimes, but when you get close proximity to him, it's what you walk away with and that's what you feel. And I think he's gelled seamlessly within the clubhouse. And when it comes to Fernando Tatis Jr., like Manny's probably the only guy around here that can relate what it's like being a phenom at 19 years old, where everybody has incredibly high expectations of you. And he's lived up to those expectations. And I think he's going to have some insights and some wisdom to pass on. And the relationship already seems incredibly strong. And we're excited about his impact on him. But the main thing we're concerned about is like him going out and playing baseball. We just want Manny to be Manny. We want him to play baseball. We want him to play baseball well. All that other stuff's going to take care of itself.
So, Andy, let me keep you on Tatis for a minute. He's had so much hype and so much buzz. He only turned 20 earlier this season. How high is his ceiling?
Yeah, I think he'll determine that in time. We're excited about him. I ain't excited about the intent with which he's approached spring training, the intent he's taken every ground ball with, the work he's doing in the cage. Because if this kid keeps his head down and works, he's going to be really, really good for a really long time. And I think he's wired the right way to do that and not be concerned about the hype. It's a different day and age where, you know, 19 and 20-year-old kids who have never put on a big league uniform are getting hyped up and put on the covers of magazines and previews and talked about as the next coming. And they really haven't done anything. But he's taken it very well. He's kept his head down. And I think ultimately we're really excited about his future. The steps he's taken defensively this spring from last spring when I was around him, man, it's a testament to his work ethic and all our minor league guys who have touched him. And then obviously he went to winter ball this offseason, played incredibly well for his dad. So they ended up winning the championship in the DR for the first time in 51 years for that club. And he was right there in the middle of it, hitting in the three hole, playing in high pressure environments and thrived on it. So he's got a bright future. All he's got to do is focus on today and he's going to get there.
It's exciting time for the Padres. We're talking baseball with their manager, Andy Green, for a few more moments. He's not the only young talent you have. Luis Urias, who's 21, he's also really a different guy, a different kind of player. What makes him so unique?
Yeah, it's his on-base skills. We've talked about it organizationally for a long time. We need guys who get on base. You know, for the last 5 years, that even precedes me, this team's finished 30th in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage. Luis Urias is a guy throughout his minor league career has gotten on base to 400 clip. And he swings at strikes, he takes balls, and he puts the ball in play with some authority. And, you know, he can flat defend the field, too. Played a really good second base for us last year when he came up. He's coming into camp playing a lot of shortstop, and he's been very, very consistent over there at short. And I think when you look at those guys and talk about Ian Kinsler in that mix, you know, it's an infield to be very excited about, especially with Eric Hosmer over at first base.
We're talking to Andy Green. Speaking of Hosmer, you know, it was a challenging year for him last year. I'm sure it didn't go exactly the way that he had hoped that it would. What do you expect from him this year? It's more of a normal offseason due to the fact that he's not a free agent. What kind of an Eric Hosmer are you expecting to see this year?
He's looked great in spring training. And I think we look at this season and expect him to have kind of the all-star caliber seasons he's had so frequently in his career. And his swing looks really good. He's driving the balls all over the ballpark. And I think we're excited about him. We're excited about when we signed him, and last year didn't change that at all. We think he's the guy that's going to anchor the clubhouse and be a key leader for us and hit in the middle of the order for us. And have loved, you know, the way he came into the season, the way he's attacked it, and the way he's brought that whole clubhouse together.
So, Andy, talking to you right now, I'm not at all surprised by this, but you're absolutely locked in. You're really dialed in. And I bring this up because I talked with some of your colleagues in the NL West recently, like Dave Roberts, Troy Lovello, in spring training. And one of the biggest topics has been, what do they do in the offseason? Do they unplug? Do they try and rest and recover and restore in the offseason? How do you personally go about doing that? Do you try to get away from baseball for a little bit of time?
Yeah, I wish I could sometimes. But, I mean, obviously I'm passionate about this, as are those guys. The one thing that pulls me away well from baseball and gets me my focus elsewhere is I got three little girls. I got a 12-year-old and 10-year-old twins, and I'm watching ballet recitals and soccer games and being a dad, being a husband and a dad. And that's about the only thing that pulls me away from this passion in San Diego. And my kids they're ate up with the Padres and they're ate up with the city of San Diego. And like, we want to see something happen special in the city. And, you know, my family's firmly invested in that.
Andy, what's it like having three girls? I've got two boys, so that's the only life I know. What's it like having three little girls?
Yeah, my world's painted pink at home, man. It's good. It's the only change of pace, like I said, I have in life. And we haven't hit those teenage years yet, so they still think dad's awesome. I'm not sure when that changes, but I'm hoping it doesn't change at all ever.
Like I said, I can't help you with that. One last thought. There have been rumors about the team maybe looking to make a move when it comes to the rotation, maybe even adding a big name. I know you can't comment on specific names, but overall, how do you feel about the rotation at this point?
Yeah, I think it's by far and away the youngest rotation I've had since I've been here, and by far and away the most talented rotation we've looked at since we've been here. So those aren't bad. That's not a bad thing, being young. There's a lot of upside. And I'm going into this season, and we're going into the season with the expectation that the guys we have in camp are the guys that are going to be here. And we're not lacking anything other than experience. And I'd rather lack experience than talent at this point in time, because we've had some experienced guys in the past. And these young guys, Some of these guys are coming in with a real edge to them and a real hunger and a real desire, and it's a credit to our scouts who identified them. They're made the right way. They're wired to want to win, and our PD department's done a great job with these guys. So I like the spot we're at. People aren't going to know the names that comprise our rotation and our bullpen, but by the time they're done seeing some of them, they're going to remember their names.
It's been an amazing offseason, really exciting time right now for the San Diego Padres. He's entering his fourth season as the manager, and the Padres do open up their season against San Francisco on March 28th. It's coming fast. Andy Green, my guest. Andy, I so appreciate you coming on. Thanks for making time. Always good to talk baseball with you.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, Andy. Thank you. Appreciate you. Padres. So, again, a really interesting offseason, fascinating offseason. They've got tremendous young talent. They've got the big anchor now at third base. He likes his rotation. They may not be done. I'm not sure they're done adding to that rotation, but if this is who they go to battle with, they've got really good upside. I like what I see. He said he expects a very different Eric Hosmer, that he's going to be the anchor both in and out of that clubhouse. And then they've got a couple of young freaks. Fernando Tatis Jr. is amazing. Amazing young player. Yeah, I know. I know, clones. The big question, will he hit two grand slams in the same game off Chan Ho Park Jr.? I don't think so. I don't think anybody's going to be laughing about the Padres once they get put it out there. Andy Green locked in. You can tell he's pretty excited. I mean, he's going to keep it. He'll keep it as steady as possible. Man, there are some managers in that division. Some really good managers. Really good managers in the NL West. Really nice day. NCAA tournament action kicking off 3:40 p.m. Pacific time. I like that first matchup. Who do you have? Have you filled out your brackets? How'd you go about doing it? What are you doing later today in addition to that? You got to be listening to the Jim Rohn Podcast, episode 74. I need to knock that out, and we'll get it done, and then we'll push it out a little bit later on after the program. Mark Schlereth, episode 74. We're talking NFL and more with him. That's coming up later on today. If you are joining us late and you missed it, we had Taco Fall, UCF Night Center, 7'6". An amazing story. Came to the U.S. from Senegal. He was just 16. Had really played very little basketball, but wanted to come here to make a better life for himself and his family. Went 7 years without seeing his mother, and she came to a game. And there'll be an action on Friday. Scooter Jeanette, Red second baseman. That was a really good interview. Also, the one thing that I thought that I would get to today, but I ran out of time, is wedding season. That will jump the day. That take will hold. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. My thanks to Taco Fall and UCF, Scooter Jeanette and the Reds. Shout out to my man, Rob Butcher. What's up, Rob? Long time no talk. Andy Green and the Padres. Can't wait to see how they look this year. And now we are done. Look for that podcast with Mark Schlereth after the program. We're going to knock that out, push it out. My thanks to the XR4TI. Clones, thank you for doing what you do. And we will see you right back here tomorrow for the Hump Day edition of The Jungle. See you then. Thanks.